In the book of Matthew, in verse 24 of Matthew 27, back up just a minute. Go back to chapter 26 and verse 36. The Bible said, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." Can you in your heart and in your mind, can you imagine the heaviness and the sorrow? Something was fixing to take place that had never taken place in eternity past. And that is, the Son of God was going to be separated from his Father. The Son of God was going to take all of my rotten sin and bury it in his own body on that tree. The Son of God was going to do more than that. He was going to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus is coming. The only reason I get to go is because when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. Jesus is heavy. He began to be sorrowful. He said, "My soul was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." How many believes while we're here we ought to be watching? We ought to be praying. That's what the Bible told us. He went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, I know I can only read the Bible, but can you in your mind and in your heart, Brother Lance, can you hear his voice? Oh, my Father. I told somebody the other day, I'm almost afraid, Brother Houston, that we're becoming gospel hardened. We've heard these truths for years and years and years and years. But I tell you tonight, if that old rugged cross don't stir your heart, I believe that's why a lot of people have went the contemporary route. I'm not fussing. I'm just telling you, they just want something to get excited about. Well, if we can't be thrilled about Calvary, there ain't no need to be thrilled. The Bible said he went a little further. He prayed, fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Perfect example for you and I tonight. Amen. And he cometh unto the disciples and he findeth them asleep. I'm just trying to mind the Lord tonight. But ain't that how he's going to find a whole lot of people when he comes back this time? Asleep. Not watching. Not praying. Not burdened. Their eyes on everything except the Word of God. Their eyes on everything except the sky, looking for the Son of God. He found them asleep. He saith unto them, "What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." What Jesus said to his disciples is still true today. Anybody here that's a born-again believer would say amen. The Spirit indeed is willing, but this stinking rotten flesh that we have is weak. And he went away again the second time. And he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. I wonder tonight, I'm not fussing at you. I didn't turn around and look at anybody. But did that song do anything for you? On a hill, far away, stood an old rugged cross. No one has ever suffered like Jesus suffered. Laura Landon's only hope, honey, is to look up one day and understand and realize he took my place. The Bible said, and he left them and he went away again. He prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, "Sleep on now." Boy, wouldn't you hate for God to say the Bible way, "Just sleep on now. Take your rest. Don't worry about getting the gospel out no more. Just sleep on now. Don't worry about the missionary. Sleep on. Don't worry about the preaching, the singing. Don't worry about your lost loved one. Just go to sleep and sleep on." How sad that would be. "Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Skip over with me. The Bible said in verse number 24 of chapter 27, "When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made." Sounds like one of these riots going on today. That's what he's facing. I wonder today, I don't even know enough about money to know whose picture's on what. I think George Washington's on a dollar, ain't he? Is that correct? Y'all help me. But I took out a $5 bill to pay for my breakfast this morning. And I think Lincoln's on the $5 bill. Is it Jefferson on a 20? Is that right? Is that right? Jackson? Okay. I do know what the number up in the corner of it means, so leave me alone. Amen. But I wondered, Brother Ralph, let's just looking down at a $5 bill, how long it's going to be before they want that changed too. Think about that for just a minute. Maybe that's what's behind some of this stuff, Brother Steve. They're trying to get a cashless society going. Global. Mark her down. Jesus is coming. The Bible said, he said, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people, "Well, I'll guarantee you in eternity these folks regret this. His blood be on us." That wasn't good enough, they said, on our children. How many believes they regret that tonight? His blood be on us and our children. Let's go with Jesus. Look at verse 26. "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." You know, we read that in a sentence. When he had scourged Jesus, we just pass right over it. Have you ever done any studying on what that was? It was actually an art. A man had to be talented to scourge a man and not kill him. They didn't aim to kill him at the scourging post. They tied him up. They took the cat of nine tails, the whip, nine little pieces of leather. It's all woven together, and out in the end of each nine, the little tails on the end are pieces of broken pottery, pieces of iron, pieces of stone. And every time that soldier takes that whip and goes like that and pulls it back, flesh. We read all that. We read it one second, and they scourged Jesus. The Word of God tells us in the book of Psalms that his joints were all out of place. The Word of God tells us in the book of Psalms that his bones were staring at them. God, warm our hearts tonight. Take us back. How many remembers when you got a glimpse of that for the first time? The Word of God said, greater love hath no man than this, and a man would lay down. They didn't take his life. He laid it down. So my babies could be saved. So my grandchildren could be saved. They scourged Jesus. They scourged Jesus. I don't know about you, but I believe that would change me to watch somebody beat a man like that. They scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. That wasn't enough. Now they stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe. When they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him. Brother Grizzle, I wonder how they're going to feel the next time when they bow that knee before him. They're going to wish to God they wasn't mocking him that day. You see, this is all a mockery. They want him to look like a king. That's the crown of thorns. That's the scarlet robe. That's the reed in his right hand. And they bow in mockery. Oh, honey, the king was before him. They just didn't know it. The Bible said here, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." He's the King of glory. They spit upon him. That's what they did. They spit on him. I hope you can get a little picture tonight in your mind. The Bible said they spit upon him and they took the reed and they smote him on the head. I've heard tales. I'd say some of them are true. About teachers in days of old with a yardstick. Have you ever heard a tale like that? Brother Grizzle, they said if the teacher turned that yardstick flatways, hit you in the head, that wasn't too bad. But if they turned that yardstick up on its edge and hit you in the head, it hurt. Hurt really bad. They aimed to hurt Jesus. How many understands that Listen, you may not agree with me. I believe Jesus was hurting worse in the garden than he's hurting right here. It's one thing to be hurt in the flesh. You could beat me half to death and it wouldn't hurt near as bad as to hurt me in my heart. How many's ever been hurt in your heart, killed in your spirit? Amen. The Word of God said here, after that they mock him, they took the robe off of him, put his own raiment on him. They led him away to crucify him. As they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Sitting down, the Word of God said, they watched him there. They set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The Word of God said he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, aren't you glad you're in that number tonight? To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Bible said in verse 38, then were there three thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. Thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Oh, I'm so glad he did. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." If he'd have saved himself, he couldn't have saved us. This was in God's plan. The Bible said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The Bible said, if he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross. We'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, "I am." Right, here's the reason they nailed him to that cross. He said, "I am the Son of God." They despised him for saying that. When he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." There's a whole lot of religions today don't believe that Jesus is deity, that he's the Son of the living God, equal with God the Father, with God the Holy Spirit. But that's exactly why they crucified him. The Bible said the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. I don't know for sure, but I would say these people had never heard of an eclipse. There was an earthquake. They knew something was going on. The Bible said here, There was darkness over all the land till the ninth hour, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. You understand that through the scourging and the crucifixion, most men could not have cried with a loud voice. I believe this is an indication of who's really in charge. They think they are. Another indication is the fact that Jesus gave up the ghost. The Bible said about the ninth hour, he cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus was forsaken. In time, that you and I would never have to be forsaken in eternity. He said something here that you and I that are born again will never have to say. He said he would never forsake us. He'd go with us all the way. Some of them that stood there when they heard that, they said, "This man calleth for Elias." Straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." That was Elijah, by the way. In verse number 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Brother Ralph, thank you for singing on a hill far away. Stood an old rugged cross. The Bible said in verse number 51, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." Could you imagine what might be going on in hearts and minds? You and I right now that are believers, that are saved, born again, blood-washed believers, have access into the holiest of all. Because Jesus died on an old rugged cross. God said, "I want you to know man is not doing this. It's not done from the bottom up, but from the top down. I've given you access to my throne." The Bible said, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy." Amen. I tell you what we need. We need mercy tonight. We need grace to help in a time of need. The graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves. And you need to really remember this phrase: after his resurrection, Jesus would be the first fruits of them that sleep. Went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The song Amazing Grace has a line in it. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. If you're not afraid tonight of dying without Jesus, there's something wrong with you. If you're not afraid of 100-pound hailstones that's coming, see, back in Noah's day, it had never rained. And they thought it was a joke. This world's never seen 100-pound hailstones, but they're coming. This world's never been on fire, a third of it at one time, but it's coming. This world's never seen a third of the water supply turn to blood, but it's coming. You say, preacher, how do you know it's coming? God said it is. God said it is. Men and women running. You talk about fear. Running to the rocks and the mountains and crying, fall on us. And hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne. Beloved, they're not ignorant anymore. They know why judgment's falling. Jesus took our judgment. Isaiah, at one time I could quote that chapter, said, who hath believed our report? Raise your hand if you've believed the report. Amen. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, we shall see him, his beauty, for we shall see him as he is. The Bible tells us over there that he was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. I tell you, when you'll get some help, surely he hath borne my grief. Surely he hath borne my sin in his body on that tree. Carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken. Listen to this phrase. Smitten of God. Brother Steve, those soldiers thought they were doing it. Smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep. I told Carol's nephew yesterday, brother. I said, brother, I didn't come here to sit down and point my finger at you. I said, it's a holy God that's pointing his finger at all of us. All of us have sinned, come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. I don't know about you tonight, but I just want to stop and say thank God for Calvary. Thank God for an old rugged cross. Thank God. Jesus was willing to take my place. Now, when that sky lights up with his presence, I'm out of here. Because I've been forgiven. Hallelujah's right, Brother John. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Book of the Revelation, we're going to be hollering, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who redeemed us to God by his own blood. Worthy is the Lamb. Tonight, I've minded the Lord. My heart is so full. Brother Grizzle, I can't wait to fall down and maybe thank him the way he ought to be thanked. Maybe praise him the way he ought to be praised. that I'll get to. Won't have to be in any hurry. He's worthy tonight of all honor, all power, and all glory. One more little thing and I'm done. We just read in the book of Matthew that the thieves are both, they're casting the same thing that the crowd is in his teeth. If you're the Christ, come down. Get us down. Brother Thurman, oh happy day when one thief changed his mind. If you read it in the book of John, I don't think it's any accident. It was right after Jesus looked at that crowd. You understand his eyes are black and blue where they blindfolded him and smote him. His back is bleeding where they've scourged him. His hands and his feet are bleeding where they've nailed him to the cross. His head is bleeding from a crown of thorns. He's got spittle running down his face. They pulled hunks of his beard out. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah's visage, that means the look upon him, was so marred more than the form of any man. I honestly believe it just looked like meat and bones hanging on a pole. One thief heard him say, Father, forgive them. Actually, they both heard him say it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You forgive me right here. But in my mind, Brother Ralph, I think he's thinking something like this. Boy, if he could forgive him for what they've done to him today, maybe he can forgive me. He said, Lord. You say, preacher, what's wrapped up in that one word? A lot. He said he was the Son of God. And what that thief was saying when he said, Lord, is I agree. I believe you are who you said you are. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I think I told Tim that yesterday, didn't I, Bob? I told Tim, I said, Jesus didn't look over at him and say, you sorry, no good, low down thief, waste your whole life, then call on me and ask me to save you. Jesus didn't say that. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He didn't even think that. He said today. Can you imagine, Brother Thurman, what must have went on in that thief's heart? Hallelujah, that night in February 30 years ago when I bowed at an old-fashioned altar. For the first time in my life, I knew I was forgiven. My guilt, my shame was gone. I could say for the first time in my life, if I die, heaven will be my home. And it was true. That thief, he must have thought, boy, today, you understand that I've tried to quit tonight and I will. You understand that the Passover's coming, so they don't want to leave people hanging on a cross. So they take a club, much like a ball bat, and they break a man's legs. Because that man's dependent on his legs to push up so he can breathe. That's the only way he can get a breath when he's hanging on the cross. He has to, and he goes back down. I don't know for sure. I know they did not break the legs of Jesus. But I figure that day, them two thieves saw him coming, Brother Steve. Jesus had already given up the ghost. You say, preacher, why didn't they break his legs anyway? Because the Bible's always right. And the Bible said, not a bone of him shall be broken. I said, the Bible's always right. They were all out of joint. They were all scared. Exposed. Not a bone of him was going to be broken. But I believe those thieves probably saw him coming. One thief's fixing to die in sin. He's fixing to bust hell wide open. It's not because he was a thief. That's the sad part. It's because he said no to Jesus. It's because of one if, Brother Wayne, if thou be the Son of God, come down and get us down. I believe that other thief, I believe something just welled up inside of him, Brother Gary. He said, ain't going to be long now. He said, today, I'll be with him in paradise. What about you tonight? It's Labor Day weekend. The Bible said this is the work that you believe on him whom he has sent. This is the work of God. I like the song, we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be going home. But honey, I'm not working tonight to be saved. I'm working tonight because I am saved. Because Jesus did a work in my heart 30 years ago when he saved me by his grace. Are you saved tonight? Are you sure about it? Have you been to Calvary? Do you know what it is to have that burden of sin? I don't believe you ought to preach sensationalism and emotionalism. You've got to trust Jesus to be saved. The Bible didn't even say you had to shed a tear, but you do have to trust Jesus. But I'll tell you this much right now. I never have figured out how God could take the burden of sin off of someone and them not know it. The Word of God said about the Holy Ghost in the book of Romans, sin, that it might become exceeding sinful. That's what conviction is. It's no longer a little sin. Maybe all you did was lie to mama, but honey, when the Holy Ghost shows up, it's a great big old lie that's going to send you right to hell. Maybe all you took was an extra quarter. But when the Holy Ghost shows up, it's just the same as if you robbed Fort Knox. You know you're guilty before God. How in the world could we have all that on us? Meet Jesus and him take all that off of us. Honey, I'm here to tell you, he didn't just take a load off of me. He had a different bucket and he dumped it right back in me. He took it away, the sin. But he put in the Spirit of the living God. What a blessing it is. I don't have to work at it to love people. All I have to do is live because Jesus lives in me. I don't have to work at it to have peace. All I have to do is live because Jesus lives in me. I don't have to work at it to have joy. All I have to do is live because Jesus lives in me. I'm just glad you come tonight. I'm just glad he lives in you. You know how long you're going to live? Forever. If Jesus lives in you, you're going to live forever. Father, tonight, thank you for our people. Lord, I'm thrilled tonight. I'm thrilled that I could hear your voice. Know, God, what you want. What you expect. I'm thrilled, Lord, to be a Christian. The songwriter said, and I say it again, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, is anything I know. All the world is bright since I got right. Now I sing and pray and shout. All my burdens have been lifted since the Savior brought. me out. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me out. God, I was in a mess. Lord, I pray you'd deal with the hearts of those that are unsaved. I pray, Lord, that little trip down by Calvary, down by the Garden of Gethsemane, might find a lodging place in their heart and in their mind. They'd never be satisfied until they know that their sin has been forgiven. I pray, Lord, tonight, help us as your people to have our hearts warmed by the cross. The songwriter said, Lord, at the cross, where I first saw the light, there it is again, Lord, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Help us tonight, Lord, to be honest with you.